Right, we'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you would. This morning, we looked at what would be said of your life from the past year. And tonight, I want to look forward at the reminder that David gives to some of his men here. 1 Samuel chapter 30 is where we'll be tonight. As we press into a new year, you often have to ask yourself the question, how will you handle the upcoming year? How will you handle the unexpected trials? Will you still be standing in the same place that you're standing now? And there's some great exhortation that David gives to these men here. Sometimes nothing can knock your socks off in life more than unexpected life events or catastrophic news, sometimes bad news that you may get. Some folks in this room had some of that in this past year, and you may face that in the coming year. Could be something like the loss of a home or the loss of life or a child that has begun to stray, and it causes us to question things. Somebody said, it's the soul-shaking, heart-aching, and bone-breaking that proves what we're made of. You ask yourself questions like, why did this happen? What is God trying to tell me? How will I get through it? And when going gets tough, we find out who's tough. And I wonder, as we see those in the race of the Christian life who have, over the years, they've given in, maybe they've fallen by the wayside, some who have quit, some who are not as faithful as they used to be, who among us will be like David and the men here that he gives this exhortation to that stick with it? Stay by the stuff. There's a phrase in this passage of Scripture that if the Lord will let us tonight, I want to make a little bit of an application, a little bit different context. But David tells these men that there's a group of them that tarried by the stuff. If you have your place, let's stand. Let me read some of these verses and then we'll dive into the text here. Let's begin in verse 21. David came to the 200 men, which were so faint, they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. When David came near to the people, he saluted them, then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. It was so from that day forward that he made it a statute, an ordinance for Israel unto this day. I want to preach tonight just simply with that title, Tarry by the Stuff. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, tonight. Thank you for the music and the singing. Thank you, Lord, for the service that we enjoyed this morning. And I pray now tonight as we've come together again, Lord, we need you to speak to us. We need you to help us and to encourage us. And Lord, in a very real sense, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to be welcome tonight in this service, that we would have an open heart, and Lord, that we would receive the Word of God. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to have wisdom in what to say and how to say it. And Lord, take this passage and please apply it to us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you remember anything about the scene, David and his men earlier have left the city of Ziklag, and they've left it really, in a sense, defenseless as they have gone off to do battle. The enemy comes in and they burn the town to the ground and they steal away the women and the children. And you're somewhat familiar with that story, I'm sure. And God uses this to teach David a lesson as well as to get his attention. The Bible tells us in verse number 10 of this chapter, if you were to go back just a few verses, you would find that after they arrive back on the scene, David divides up his 600 men. Four of them go to pursue after the invaders, while 200 of them are told told to stay behind, some because of particular reasons, some because they are faint along the way. But nonetheless, 200 stay and 400 pursue. They find an Egyptian who's been left to die in the wilderness. David offers that he would help the man in exchange for information that would lead to the band of soldiers that invaded the land. That happens. An annihilation takes place in verses 17 through 20. And the Bible tells us that all of the men die except for 400 who jumped on camels and were able to escape David and his 400 men. And what's happening is God has fulfilled his word just as he said he would. And as David is defeating the enemy, God is fulfilling his promise at the same time that he would raise David up to the place of being a king. Now here they are, where we read a moment ago in verse number 21, 20 and 21, and they're returning home. Now they got the wives and the children, and as a bonus, they also have the spoils of the battle. I mean, they've got gold, they've got silver, they've got livestock, they've got food, they've got jewelry, they've got it all. You're talking about a tremendous military success that is given because they were faithful to the Lord. But that wasn't possible without someone tarrying by the stuff. Now I want to jump over for just a minute, if I will, and tell you that God is still interested in 2020 in some people who will tarry by the stuff. Some who will be faithful and some who will stay with it. Some who are not afraid to be Bible believers, not afraid to call yourself a Baptist and not afraid to hold to the Word of God. Talking about being separated in faith and practice and staying by the stuff. Not just for next year, but the year after that. And 10 years from now, staying by the stuff. But like us, these men in this chapter were about to experience that their battle was not over. Because a battle was about to brew in amongst their ranks, amongst the people, as they were undergoing, if you will, the stress of success. Now, it's interesting, I don't have time to preach this, but of the 400 men who went and of the 200 men that stayed, those 600 men were all on the same side. Those 600 men were all fighting the same enemy. Those 600 men were all after the same thing. Those 600 men all had the same goal and the same value, and they all followed the same master, but yet they were about to fight amongst themselves. I'm amazed that is happening amongst Christians today. And the number is more than 600, but amongst Bible believers and amongst Christians and amongst even Baptists who are following or should be the same master and who believe the same things and are following after them. By the way, it's not the message, so don't get nervous, but it's amazing how that we, in the midst of a battle where we're headed the same direction, get busy fighting amongst ourselves. And they're about to experience that. And so I want to learn a couple things from this passage. And I don't often preach a message with this typical, this type of style, but the Lord has impressed a couple things on my heart that I want to see in this text. And I've spent a couple weeks just trying to put together what I believe is happening in this passage so that I remain true to the text, but yet there's personal application with where we are. And so I want you to notice a couple things. Can I encourage you to do this? I often say this, but sometimes in particular messages it's more important than others. I think you ought to jot down these things that we're about to mention. There are some outlines tucked within outlines in the message tonight. I mentioned this morning that you ought to jot that down, and I think the same would be true tonight. And I want you to notice what's happening here with these men, and then by way of application, how that David challenges them in their own Christian walk, if you will. First of all, we notice the anxiety of the weary. There's the anxiety of the weary. Go back to chapter 30, verse 21, and the Bible tells us about these 200 men. Now, you can go back to verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11, I think, and you can read a little bit about how David divides them and why he divides them, and we'll see more about that in just a moment. But imagine, if you would, being amongst these 200 men who have stayed behind. David takes 400 and they leave you terrified in a burning city. You start to ask yourself, well, what if David and the 400 men lose? Will they win? Can they win? And if they're defeated, then surely they're going to come for us next. And here are these men who are left as guards. They're left at the post, if you will. And they begin to wonder in their minds. And they begin to stew over what would be next for them. And they post some guards to keep a sharp eye out. And then suddenly, on the horizon, there's a dust cloud that begins to rise. And perhaps they begin to say to themselves, well, this is it. There's no way we can defend what's left of the city now. There's no way we can put up a battle ourselves. This may be the end of it. As the enemy is coming, someone is on their way. And the Bible tells us that these 200 men in particular, they were so faint that they couldn't keep going. I mean, they had gone and they had fought and they had fought and they had fought and they had pushed themselves and they had given and they were steady and they were faithful and they stayed behind David along the way, but they had come to the place where now they were weary. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there will be times in your Christian life when you will get weary. There will be times in your Christian life when you've been going and you've been giving and you've been going and you've been giving and you say to yourself as you come to a Sunday night service that surely the pastor's not going to ask us to sign up for another prayer meeting, or surely he's not going to ask us to be in all the revival services, and surely the preacher's not going to expect of us that we ought to be involved in some kind of outreach. I mean, after all, preacher, I'm tired and I just need a break. Well, I'm glad there's some people in the Scripture that stayed by the stuff. And these men look out in the distance and they realize it's David. We're safe. And he's got the children and he's got our wives with him and he's got food. And David finds these men faithful right where he left them. Right where he posted them. When David comes back, he finds them there, and the Bible tells us that he salutes them, and there's a grand reunion as they are welcomed back with their family and their friends, and there's a grand feast as David brings the food, and man, you talk about having a barbecue of all barbecues. They were about to have it because their master and their king had arrived back. And ladies and gentlemen, can I just tell you that one of these days as a child of God, we're going to meet the master and the king of kings, and I wonder, will he find you faithful? There's the anxiety of the weary, yet a problem was brewing in their journey home. As they were going back home, in the hearts of some of the men, selfishness and greed was taking place. And it's a shame that I'm afraid sometimes in the journey toward home for Christians, selfishness a lot of times brews in our hearts too. That's a message you can develop all in of itself if you want to sometime. But number one, there's the anxiety of the weary. Number two, there's the attitude of the weak. Now look at verse 22. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David. Now let's stop for a minute. It's interesting, the words that are used there. Those of you that are Bible scholars, you take the time to study that out. There, I told you, there's several messages here. You go back just a chapter, and these are mighty men. You go back just a chapter, these are valiant men. You go back just a little bit, these are warriors. These are men who have stood beside David, and now the Bible calls them wicked men. Men of Belial. Think about the setting, would you? For many of these people, this is the first time they were financially successful. Do you remember where they were and who they were when they came to David? David, the Bible says they were distressed and they were in debt. Is everybody okay? Everybody with me? And now they have so much, they don't know how to deal with it. Now they have so much, they don't know what to do with it. And the material goods had taken a hold in them. And material goods mean a lot to people who live for the world and not for the Lord. Earthly things become more important than heavenly things. In fact, some people don't tarry by the stuff, if you will, because of the pursuit of things. And these men lost common sense. They lost concern one for another. Once again, I must underscore that it's amazing to me that Christians, even amongst our ranks, and preachers, even amongst Baptist preachers, they lose common sense and concern one for another as they begin to be selfish. And you start to see the attitude of these that are weak in the flesh and weak in prosperity. Their success began to reveal the iniquity of their hearts. Someone said that prosperity is a great test of what a man is made of. And that's true. But I would add to that, adversity is also a test of what a man's made of. It will either bring out pride and haughtiness or it'll bring out humility and gratefulness. Now, I want you to notice how David responds, and this is the message. Number one, there's the anxiety of the weary. Number two, the attitude of the weak. Number three is the admonition of the wise. Verse 23, 24, and 25 tells us what David does as he responds. Then said David, no, you ain't doing that. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but in case you missed that. In verse number 22, what happened was when they got back, they looked at David and they said, I'm not sharing this with them. And, I mean, those guys didn't go out to the battle. They're not getting any of these spoils. I'm keeping the gold for myself. They're not getting any of these cattle or any of these sheep. I'm not giving them any of the jewelry. I'm not sharing any of that. And David said, no, you're, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. And there's some great admonition that is given here and a tremendous reminder of how all of us have a place in the battlefield. Charles Jones said that success is not a reward to be enjoyed, but a trust to be administered. Danny Thomas said that success has nothing to do with what you gain or accomplish for yourself. It's what you do for others. It ain't what you gain that makes you successful. It's what you continue to do with it. And so David wisely tells these men, now wait a minute. You're going to share these spoils. You must share what is here. Because after all, there's a reason why it was given to us. And there's a reason why it must be spread abroad to all those who are a part of this. David could have been angry. I mean, he could have been frustrated. He could have said, I can't believe you guys. I can't believe the attitude that you've had. But David was kind and he was firm and he was gentle in his response, and he reminds them in verse number 23 and in verse number 24, it's the Lord that gave it to us. I mean, what a tremendous response as David says, now wait a minute, fellas, God's the one that gave it all to us. Now wait a minute. All we have is because of God and is from God. All the successes, all the victories, it all is from God anyways. Now watch. The responsibilities of the 400 versus the responsibilities of the 200 were vastly different. But the Bible says the reward was the same. Did you see that? I mean, each of them have a different part, and each of them are responsible for something else. But David said the reward's the same. Ladies and gentlemen, if we would be like those who tarry by the stuff, or if we are those who are out in the battlefield, we must remember tonight that we will be rewarded for being faithful. A pastor, an evangelist, a missionary cannot do what they do unless some people tarry by the stuff. And I want to take this passage of Scripture, and particularly this phrase, and I think there are some admonitions that David gives that I think are applicable to who we are, and specifically us moving into a new year. Notice, if you will, some of these admonitions that David gives. First of all, he begins with a reminder, and the reminder is about the 200 and who they are and what they do. He reminds them that the 200 remain, some because they were weary, some because they were sickly, some because they were faint, many of them because they were suffering, but they were in the place that was appointed for them. They were there where the master, where the king had placed them to be. And ladies and gentlemen, God can use all of us in our places. Some of the most influential sermons at times are not sermons necessarily that come from a pulpit, but they may be sermons that come from the bedside of an old saint of God, somebody who is sick or weakly, somebody who is in the seminary of affliction, if you will, who knows what it is to go firsthand through the truths of the Word of God, whose message is so powerful that they practice what they preach in their life. And there's a reminder here about your place in the battlefield. And I can ask you a question. Here's the challenge in the message tonight, and we'll see it over and over throughout the scripture. I want to challenge you to tarry by the stuff. I want to challenge you to stay faithful by the stuff. These are men, according to the Word of God, these 200, they had protection and they had provision because they stayed by the stuff. They were close to the king. They obeyed the orders of the king. They walked with the king and they followed the king, and they were close enough to know what the words and the heart's desire of the king was, and they stayed where the king put them. I just want to go on record tonight and say that I am glad and I'm not ashamed to be a separated, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher. I'm not ashamed to be a soul winner. I'm not ashamed to be missions-minded. I don't want or need what some other group or some other church or some other camp has to sell. There's all kinds of new fundamentalism today. There's a new Baptist that has come into our circles today. There are multitudes of new Bibles that enter the market with every new decade. We enter the year 2020. We start a brand new decade. You mark it down, by 2030, there'll be some new Bible that comes down the pike and some newfangled idea. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought not to be afraid to have old-fashioned Bible preaching and teaching that would fill the pulpits of the churches all across America. That's what God blesses. We see guys today who have their tight pants on and their open shirts, and they sit on bar stools and they got their slippers on and they got no socks on, and they pull up in a darkly lit room and they want to have a little religious talk and they want to lead everybody to Jesus into the light of what they're doing. And they have their little dance teams that come out with their hippie hair and their mini skirts and all that hoopla. Hey, let's not be afraid of old-time fundamental religion. There needs to be some young people that would hear a man of God get up and cry aloud and spare not. Everybody okay with that? And I just don't know. You do what you want with it, and you may leave the service tonight and say, well, preacher, I just don't know about all that. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm preaching, and I've been behind a pulpit now for over 20 years, I've watched many people change in the few years that I've been in ministry. And they're not tarrying by the stuff that they once were. What if David had come back and the 200 were gone? Well, preacher, the city's already burnt, so it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. Because you see, they were about to have a reunion with their family. They were about to meet the king, and we need to see some adults who will tarry by the stuff. And I just think that maybe, just maybe, if David were here tonight and he were to say to us in New Testament fashion, here's some things that I would have you tarry by, I have a sneaking suspicion I know what some of those things would be. And I think David would start with, you ought to tarry with the Word of God. You would be amazed how it would transform your 2020 if you would love and cherish and fall in love with the Word of God. It is a pity to me how little we read and how little we heed the Bible. In fact, let me just challenge you. There ought to be some people tonight who are going to decide, you know what? I'm going to get one of those Bible reading schedules and I'm going to stay with it. Now, maybe you have something else that you do, that's fine and that's dandy, but I just want to challenge you. I just have an idea that there's a whole lot of people that think they have a schedule and think they walk with God who don't really. There's no shame. I use a checklist every day of my life to read the Bible. You're not super spiritual because you can just keep it all in your head. It doesn't matter what it is. You find something that works for you. But let me just challenge you tonight. It ought to be the case that you would just get in the Word of God in this coming year and just decide, I'm going to get one of those schedules and I'm going to stick with it. And maybe for the first time in your life, or maybe for the second time, you'll read through the Bible cover to cover. And by the way, not this silly nonsense on some tablet or some kind of a phone where you have all your pop-up Instagram things and all your other messages that are popping up while you're trying to scroll through and read three verses in the morning. Why don't you just get the Bible out and hold it in your hands and spend time with God? I have a sneaking suspicion if David say, here's some things you ought to tarry with, he'd start with the Word of God. And then I think David would give them a reminder, you ought to stay by the stuff when it comes to your witness. What a shame how few are faithful to go out and give the gospel. Well, shame.
Now, you can argue all you want to about soul winning. You say, preacher, are you a soul winner? I want to be. Do you believe in evangelism? Absolutely. Do you believe in going soul winning? Yes, I do. And you can argue with it all that you want to, but let's just see what Jesus said, shall we? Because Jesus said that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said that we are to compel them to come into his house. In the word of God, they went two by two, and they went house by house. And it's a Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't care if you're on staff, I don't care if you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, or if you're a layman, you ought to be busy at being a witness for Christ and for the house of God where you come and worship. It's a shame that some folks have never led one soul to Christ in 2019. But I'll go a step further. Some folks never had a visitor in the pew in 2019. And yet, we call ourselves evangelistic. And yet, we say that we believe in evangelism. Hey, how about this? Now, maybe you say, well, preacher, I just got busy and I got sick and I'm just shy and that's not really my thing. And maybe you're lazy. You don't want to say it that way, but I'll go ahead and say it because I'm the one that's preaching. There's some that used to visit and they don't visit anymore. There's some that used to pass out tracts and they care anything about passing out tracts. Some who have never invited anybody to church and they gave up because somebody got mad or somebody said no or somebody didn't come. Why don't you quit saying amen in church and quit pointing out everything else that's wrong and put some tracts in your pocket and start telling people about Jesus? It's high time that some people just decide that I'm going to stay by this stuff. Where are the men and women of God who would say in the year 2020, I'm going to start it and I'm going to tarry with it? I think if David were here in the New Testament, he would say, you ought to tarry by that. And then I think David would give us a reminder about our work. More than ever, Brother Crow, it seems like we're hearing people say, well, I just need to take a break. It seems like in churches, Brother Abbott, we get this, well, I'm just burned out. I mean, we just had to take a break. And I know you guys preach across the nation, and I have no doubt that somebody who you do not know comes up to you after a Sunday school lesson and they say, well, we used to teach Sunday school years ago, but we just had to take a break. More than ever, we're hearing that in churches all across our land. I used to run a bus, or I used to be a soul winner. And preacher, you understand, don't you? Well, let's just see what Jesus said. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me, for the night cometh when no man can work. Sure, you get weary. We all get weary. Everyone gets tired along the way. But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. And I just want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that a church that has most of its members taking a break from God will eventually be a church where God takes a break from them. Everybody gets weary. You think a Sunday night doesn't appear every so often when I don't really have a whole lot left in me to get up and preach to you, and I can't get a grunt, a smile, I can't even get you to keep one eye open? Welcome to the club. But what's the difference? We ought to be people who would be tarrying by the stuff. And then I think David would remind us, why don't we tarry by the stuff when it comes to our worship? Some people attend church occasionally. It's a shame that in every church I've ever been in all my life, there's always a Sunday morning crowd, a Sunday night crowd, and a Wednesday crowd. And every one of us know what that means. There always has been. And some people are in all those crowds. Praise the Lord for that. Some people miss at least one church service every month. Now, you can't tell them that. They'll argue with you and they'll say, no, I didn't. And then you start to add it up and it was 15 in a whole year. Wow. You probably didn't miss 15 days of work. Some people miss more church than they come to church. Some people only tithe when it's convenient. That's no way to worship God. Hey, stay by the stuff. If you don't want someone to say of you, man, they used to, but they no longer were. I'm just saying, I'll go on record tonight. I don't want someone to say of me, boy, that preacher, that Brother Nepshield, he used to preach and he used to stand, but he don't preach that way anymore. Now he's got his skinny jeans on. He has a little kind sermonette. He doesn't witness like he used to. You used to see him come out on Thursday, but you don't see him. By the way, if you see me in skinny jeans, something's wrong with me. You thought I missed that, didn't you? I don't want people to say that of me, that occasionally he's faithful and occasionally you can count on him. I don't want that.
I don't be still by the stuff. When the king comes back. And then I think David would remind us, you ought to stay by the stuff when it comes to your walk. Now, I don't preach about separation much, and I'm not going to preach about it tonight, so you're fine. But I'm amazed at how much we change. I'm amazed at how much we want to look like Justin Bieber, and we want to dress like everyone of the world. We may only be a few steps behind them, but we follow them. My grandma lived to be 91 years old, and best I know from her testimony, from speaking to her and from hearing my parents talk about her, my grandma never wore a pierced earring in her life. Now that was her conviction. 7 days a week, are you ready, ladies? She wore stockings. Boy, that hurt some of you right there, didn't it? Now I'm not saying that's what the standard should be. But I can tell you this, my grandma drew a line somewhere and she stayed with it. You know what the problem is? A lot of Christians don't even have a line. We don't even have one. And I have no doubt. I get so fed up with social media. I get so tired of looking at preachers and their families who have changed and they post all these pictures that has no, it does not match what they preach in the pulpit. Somebody's changed somewhere. Draw a line, stay with it, and 20 years from now, still be with it. Tarry with the stuff. So David gives them a reminder. And then secondly, in part of this admonition, David speaks to them about restraint. And without taking the time to go into it, again, he has to tell the 400 men, now fellas, you're going to have to exercise a little restraint. You're going to have to learn to share, and you're going to have to learn to give, and you're going to have to get your heart right, and there's some things that you're going to have to put by the wayside. I know this, that when people fall by the wayside and they leave church for no good reason or they're not where they used to be, I know good and well something's got a hold of them. Something's changed in the heart. And if I could for just a minute tonight, there's some areas of your life that you're going to have to exercise restraint. Are you ready? You better be careful about the music you listen to. You better be careful. Music trends today are taking Christians to very bad places. Because fleshly music is coming into our churches, and by the way, it's coming into our churches because we've allowed it in our homes. Now watch. February the 9th, 1964. Ed Sullivan Show. He debuted what would be four of the most popular singers, and they came from Liverpool, England. Yeah, some of you still listening to him, aren't you? The Beatles. And all I think that was a Saturday, it may have been a Friday, I can't remember, but all over America that weekend, preachers got up and they thundered forth about the sound of rock and roll. And you know what the Beatles looked like that night? All four of them had suits on. They had skinny ties on. They looked appropriate. Their hair was a little disheveled, but they looked like most of the people in church today. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a Sunday school picnic compared to the music today. And yes, the music that's in churches. It's a picnic compared to what we call contemporary Christian. Music has pulled an entire generation of people away from God. Hillsong USA is probably the leader in trend setting right now in 2020 for contemporary worship. They have lead pastors all over the United States and then all over the world, and they're looking to unite everybody. 2016, they had a world religion conference, and they had a man come out in this rally who was called the Naked Cowboy. You remember reading this article? I wouldn't Google it, by the way.
Man comes out on stage in his underwear with a guitar, and people danced and swooned. That's blasphemy. That's silly. Now, I know where I am. I'm in the South. I'm in a Baptist church. And what we do is we say, well, preacher, I don't watch that, and I don't follow that. But now, wait a minute. You fall in love with the music on K-Love that they're singing. And within 5 years, it has crept into the music published for our Baptist churches. It's just toned down a little bit. Somebody help me. I'm simply saying to you, you better be careful about them. You better have some restraint and discernment about what you let into your heart, because that's a movement that is pulling people out of our churches. Here's what it looks like. Well, preacher, we love you. We ain't heard preaching like that ever. But our kids, they really like the music down there. Our kids really like the programs that are... If I had my way, preacher, I'd probably stay because I really like your preaching. Well, by the way, you do have your way. If I had my way, I'd stay here. But my kids, they really get pumped up about that. And so because of that, you go to the Vineyard, or you go to the River Church, or the Banana Split Church, or whatever it is. You better have some restraint in the music you listen to. Is everybody okay? This is the last Sunday I get to preach in this year, so I got to make the best of it. Here's another one. You better have some restraint in the media that you allow. Because of that, we are watering down churches and we're watering down preaching. I don't care what you call me. I have never labeled myself of a type of preacher. It doesn't matter to me. But there is a generation today that says, well, I don't want any kind of hard preaching. I don't want a preacher that raises his voice and gets in my face. I mean, the preacher should never move away from the pulpit. And man, if he steps off the platform, that's the kind of church we just can't go to. From time to time, people ask me, and when they leave, they'll say, preacher, were you talking to me? No, I was talking to the people at IHOP. Of course I was talking to you. What are you talking about? I mean, what do you want to come to church for if the Word of God doesn't stir you and somebody doesn't challenge you? Ladies and gentlemen, you do realize that in a Baptist church just like this, just a few years ago, there was a day when preachers stood up and they thundered forth, and men and women came to the altar with tears, and because of those tears, they threw out their music and they got rid of their televisions and what they watched, and they changed the way that they dressed, and they threw out their cigarettes, and they got right with God. God help us. But modernism and media has said, let's just put all that together and you can do it all and still have church. You know, just we can have all those things together and we'll just call it church. Social media will kill you with greed and envy so that you'll be like everyone else. Here's another. I got to go because of time. You better have some restraint when it comes to material things. Jesus did not die so you could feel good. There is definitely a prosperity gospel that is sweeping us off of our feet. And here's what happened. It's so trendy, it's too easy. Because 10 years ago, everybody got sucked into the vein of what Joel Osteen had to sell. But now in a church like ours, you say the name Joel Osteen, and it's like everybody says, oh yeah, well, of course, yeah. Well, you're just 10 years behind the rest of us. And now, it's Beth Moore. And the light has come on for a lot of people around the country because Beth Moore has shown herself to be an idiot, and everybody says, oh, well, Beth Moore, of course. Well, welcome to the club. The rest of us have seen that forever. The list goes on. And I don't have time to go through all that, but there's this idea that your Christianity is just going to make you wonderful and everything will be great and it's always going to be pink cupcakes with sprinkles and yay, rainbows everywhere for everybody. Who in the world believes that nonsense? I mean, that's just silliness. But there is this mentality that's the kind of ministry that I want to be under. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you, the gospel includes heartache. The gospel includes sorrow. The gospel includes persecution. And it's foolish to believe that everything's going to be always easy. The Bible says that I am crucified with Christ. Don't you let what the world has to offer you buy you out of living for God. You better be careful about materialism. You're better off to give more to the Lord than to buy more for yourself. The truth of the matter is, and I got to hasten, we're not really tired because we're soul winning and praying so much. I mean, if you came to me and you said, "Preacher, I just got to take a break from teaching Sunday school because I've been praying 40 hours a week this week for my Sunday school class." We're not tired because we're giving so much to the Lord and because we're serving God so much. We're tired because we're trying to keep up with the world. We're tired because we're spending too much time in the world. We're tired because we've got too much ties to the world rather than to Christ. We have this idea, well, I just need to slow down. No, my friend, we need to win some people to Christ. We need to win some people this week and win some people next week, and we need to get them down the aisle, and we need to see them get baptized. And we need to see them discipled and living for God. You say, "Preacher, I'm just a Christian school teacher." Great. Why don't you be a Christian school teacher that's a soul winner? You say, "Preacher, all I do is clean the church." Wonderful. How good would it be to have a person that cleans the church, that is concerned about souls and wants to see the house of God full? Ladies and gentlemen, God is still real and God is still alive and He still saves and He still revives. Tarry by the stuff. Tarry by the stuff. Why? Well, the answer is because of the final admonition that David gives. He gives them a reminder. He speaks to them about restraint. And then thirdly, as a part of this admonition, David speaks to them about the reward. Man, I like this. David didn't allow the 400 to keep the spoils to themselves. But the 200 who tarried by the stuff, they were rewarded too. Now, do you realize that there are times in your Christian life when it is tiresome and it is difficult? But my friend, God has a reward for those who tarry by the stuff. God is always faithful. And I just wonder, who will still be by the stuff in 2020? Hey, let's have revival. Let's go into the new year resolved. Let's go into the new year with a desire to do something for God. And by God's grace and with God's help, let's get some people saved. Let's see some other people who are responsible for a Stephen Summerhill or a Stephanie getting in the baptistry waters. It's not just the preacher's fault. It's not just the preacher's job, but it's everybody's job to help bring people to Christ and to get them down the aisle and to see them baptized and to see them discipled and growing in the work of God. It still works. Tarry by the stuff. And years from now, who of us would be still faithful by the stuff? Father, I pray that You would help us tonight to receive this, in some ways, personal application that David delivered to these 400 men. It still seems to speak to our place as well. Lord, I don't know where each of us wrestle. I don't know what the devil will put in front of us in the coming year. Lord, I don't know who even amongst our group, our number tonight would say, "Preacher, that's just not for me." I don't know. But God, I just have to think that the impact in DeSoto County would be much greater if we gathered around this altar and said, "I'll be by the stuff." Help us, I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.